This morning we're talking about faith, and just as we sang, great is thy faithfulness, you know, sometimes when we talk about faith, we think immediately about our own faith. But God is faithful. God has faith in us as well, because he has wired you, he's created you to be a certain way and do a certain thing, and it's actually our own choice, and we are out of alignment with that. But he has faith in you. He has faith in you. I titled this A Faith That Fits. And we know the world, our lives, our situations are ever changing. We are just a decision, a phone call, or a news story from the next highlight, or maybe even a tragedy in our short lives. The more we worry, the less we enjoy the blessings of each day, though. And the more we try to control that which isn't ours to control, the less contentment we find in God's creation. And the more apprehensive we are to live, trust, or accept the people in the world around us, the more we miss out of that world. But in the seemingly unstable ways of the world, there lies a constant, an unchangeable truth. And that is the steadfastness of faith in God. This morning, we're going to explore the depths of faith that isn't confined to the walls of this church or limited to the moments of tranquility we experience, but a faith that fits every situation of our lives. Like the seasons, our lives cycle through periods of growth and decay and joy and sorrow and peace and turmoil. I mean, scripture says there's a season for everything. And it's in the midst of these ever-changing circumstances that many seek stability in things of this world, wealth or relationships or achievements. And these in themselves are not bad. But they are shifting sands as well. They are transient as well. And they can't offer the firm foundations that our souls so deeply require. And amidst all of this, the Bible presents a concept of faith that's not merely a part of life, but really the thing, the lens through which we are to view everything in our existence. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith for us, and it defines it in this way. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. And this verse introduces us to a faith that is both a profound mystery and a simple truth. That's a deep thought. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, and an assurance about what we do not see. It speaks of a confidence so deep it shapes our reality. A belief so strong, it sees the unseen. This is the faith that Abraham had as he stepped into the unknown, the faith that Daniel possessed in the lion's den, and the faith that Mary embraced as she said to God, "Let it be to me according to your word." But what does it mean to have a faith that fits every situation? It means having a faith that is not swayed by the fickleness of the situation or a mood, whether it's a good or a bad one. It's a faith that is anchored in the unchangeable nature of God. And I'm talking about the nature, the character, not the behavior of God, but who God is. It's a faith that does not depend on external circumstances, but on the eternal promises of God. As we open the scriptures this morning and reflect on our own experiences, we're going to discover that faith is not a passive acceptance of something, right? It's not just that's the way it goes and I have faith in God, but it's a choice. An active trust that engages with the world, both its pain and its beauty. It says there's a meaning and a purpose here. And we'll see how faith like this is not just a shield against hardship, but a beacon that shines brighter in the darkness. And the foundation of faith itself is in God's own character. At the heart of a faith that transcends circumstances lies confidence in God's promises and in his characters, who he is. Faith is not merely a belief and a deep-seated assurance that God is who he says he is and he will do. I'm sorry, it is not merely a belief, but it is a deep-seated assurance that God is who he says he is and he will do what he has promised. This faith is not blind optimism, right? We don't hope the Royals win. We hope it stops raining, right? We, you know, these are good things that we wish for. That's not what biblical hope is. Faith is not blind optimism, but a secure trust in the unseen reality of God's kingdom, which shapes this world. Consider Abraham. Hebrews 11:8 tells us he was called to leave his home without knowing where he was going. I don't know about you, but I like the comfort of my space. You may call it a rut. I call it a routine, right? Yeah, but he went, driven by faith and God's promise. Abraham's journey was not without its challenges. I mean, he faced famine. He faced countless conflicts and the long-awaited promise of a son. Yet in every situation, Abraham's faith did not waver because it was rooted in God's faithfulness, not in what was happening to him at the moment. The foundation of a faith that can adapt to every situation is neither founded in human wisdom nor built on the transient nature of our emotions. It's rooted in the unshakable character of God and his promises revealed in Scripture. Matthew 7, 24, 27 tells us this foundation is like a house built on solid rock, right? It ensures that the house will stand firm regardless of the storms that rage against it. And there are many other biblical anchors to our faith. I mean, Romans 10, 17, Paul writes, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. Our faith begins and it grows by engaging in the word of God. It's through Scripture that we come to understand the depth of God's love, the breadth of his promises, and the certainty of his faithfulness. How can you have faith in something that is promised, but you don't know what that promise is? It doesn't change the reality of who God is or what he's doing. But if you want to have comfort in this world, and you want to rely on God and who he is, you got to know who he is. You got to learn about him. Paul also writes in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we live by faith, not by sight. This verse reminds us that our faith is not dependent on our physical circumstances or what we can see with our eyes. Instead, it's a trust in God's sovereignty and his perfect plan for our lives, even when the path ahead seems unclear to us. Again, Paul, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's nothing we did. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. Our faith itself is a gift of God, not something we can earn or create on our own. It is by faith that we enter into relationship with God, fully reliant on his grace. Do you have faith that the crucifixion and resurrection have atoned for your sins when you've accepted him? You have faith. God has given you something to believe in, and that is everything that you need for an eternal life in God's grace, is to know and accept. If you look at the faith of Moses, I mean, again, Moses' life exemplified foundation of faith and action. He led the Israelites out of Egypt. We know the story. Not because he was confident in his own abilities. In fact, he argued with God. But he also trusted in God's power and promises. And facing the Red Sea, he faced the Egyptian army in pursuit. He even faced, you know, turmoil among his own people that he was saving. But Moses' faith in God's deliverance was unshakable, leading to the miraculous parting of the Red Sea and the deliverance of the people to the promised land. And if we consider the faith of Esther, her story is a testament to foundational faith amidst life-threatening circumstances. Her decision to approach the king, risking her life to save her people, was rooted in a deep trust in God's sovereignty and providence. In fact, Esther's faith led her to declare, if I perish, I perish. Like, I'm going to do the right thing, no matter what it costs me. We're called to live out this kind of faith still today. Our faith journey is not unlike those who've gone before us. We're called to trust in God's promises like they did, even when faced with challenges that seem insurmountable. Like Moses, we're to lead with faith, not fear, even when the path God calls us to seems impossible. Like Esther, we are to stand for God's purposes, trusting in his plan over our lives. Now you may not be in risk, and I pray that you aren't, of death for your beliefs. But you know, there are a lot of things challenging the things that we believe, the things we know to be true right now in society. And, you know, we may face the death of relationships with others. We may face some turmoil and struggle and things that aren't, we don't want to hear. But like Esther, we need to stand up for what was right. This foundational faith impacts how we live, how we respond to challenges, and how we view our future. It calls us not to live by what we can see, but by what we believe. And then by doing that, we don't believe in our own strength, but in God's power at work within us. It invites us to be agents of faith in the world, again, shining a light of hope to those who need it. And as we build the lives of this foundation, we find that our faith can indeed fit every situation. It enables us to face the unknown with confidence, not because of what the future holds, but because of who holds our future. Our faith rooted in Christ becomes the lens through which we view every aspect of our lives, transforming our perspective, guiding our steps, and shaping our destiny. I'm going to be okay because Jesus is leading the way. And that's great when the road is easy. It's even okay when the road's uncertain, right? I don't know what's going to happen next, but God's with me. But what about the really tough times? What about faith in trials? James 1, 2 through 4 has long been a verse I call on. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Joy is not happiness, right? But consider it pure joy when you face trials because it develops perseverance. A faith that fits every situation is not a faith that avoids trials, but one that endures through them. It may not even pursue trials for the sake of conflict, but it endures them. The trials we face are not merely obstacles, but opportunities for our faith to be refined and strengthened. It's hard to look at that in the face of that and say, you know, I'm going to be a better person, a stronger person on the other side of this. But just as gold is tested by fire, our faith is tested by the trials of life, producing perseverance and a spiritual maturity. Job's a powerful testimony to a faith that endures in the face of unimaginable loss and suffering. And he had a lot to lose. Job's faith was not dependent on his wealth, which he had a lot of, on his health, which he also had, and on the existence of God's blessing, which the Bible said he also had. It said he was an upright man. Even when everything was taken from him, Job's faith remained rooted in his knowledge of God's sovereignty and goodness. How hard that must be to have these things that you thank God for all your life, and they're gone. Where are you, God, in this? But we know now where God was, and we have that kind of faith when we find ourselves and our friends find themselves in those moments where we're saying, God, where are you? Where are you? Just like with Job, he's there. The journey of faith is often paved with trials, each serving a divine purpose in God's grand plan for our lives. And these moments of testing are not signs of God's absence, but evidence of his active presence or work within us, refining and strengthening our faith. And the scriptures provide both comfort and clarity on the nature of trials. Kind of akin to the James 1, 2 through 4, we find 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. It says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer great grief in all kinds of trials. They have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even when refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." It says that you're going through this trouble for a while. And in these troubles, the little while might seem like an eternity. It says they have come so that they have proven your genuineness of your faith. And it's saying that genuineness is worth more than these things that you hold for value. And it highlights the refining purpose of our trials, comparing the testing of our faith to the purification of gold. It reassures us the outcome of our faith, tested and true, will bring glory to God. Paul again writes in Romans 5:3-5 that we find glory in our sufferings, right? Because that suffering produces perseverance. And if we want to grow in our faith, we need to have some perseverance. And it says, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And it says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is a process, my friends. And we shouldn't hate the process because it's to make us better. Sufferings lead to perseverance, to character, to hope, a real hope. Facing trials with faith means seeing beyond the immediate pain or challenge, recognizing that God is refining us, building our character, and preparing us for what lies ahead. And this means holding on to hope when circumstances seem hopeless, because our hope is not based on our situation, but on our Savior. You know, there are times when you need to put this in your pocket for yourself. And there are times, probably more likely, where you have to pull this out to understand that someone else is going through a tough trial and coming alongside them. And we may not always have the words, but sometimes all we can bring is a peaceful presence. And that peaceful presence comes because we know the purpose of this trial this person may be going through. We may not have an answer for them. We may not be able to tell them where God is in this. We may not even have words. But our presence, knowing that God is in control, can bring strength to that situation. And we need to take this kind of faith and put it in action. This is from this week's verse to remember. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if anyone... I'm sorry, this is not the verse to remember. This is James 2, 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. We've got to do something with our faith. It is too valuable, too important to keep to ourselves. It's an active faith. It compels us to do things like Micah says, like act justly. Our faith compels us to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. It thrusts us into action, serving those who are in need, advocating for justice, and embodying the love of Christ in every aspect of our lives. It's active. It's vibrant. And it propels us into action. It's demonstrated through our love and our service and our obedience to God. And Scripture's loaded with warnings and examples how faith is merely not merely something to possess internally, to be comfortable and content in your situation, but to live it out loud. This morning's verse to remember, Terry read, was Isaiah 40:31. It says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." The ultimate promise for those whose faith fit every situation is renewal of strength. Physical strength, emotional strength, spiritual strength. Our faith in God is not just for overcoming trials, but for sustaining us throughout the entire journey. It's a source of strength, enabling us to soar above the challenges, to run without growing weary, and to walk without fainting. And life has these ebbs and flows of challenges. And faith acts not only as an anchor, but also a sustaining force, carrying us through the storms and guiding us to the calm waters. The sustaining faith is deeply rooted in a trust that God is with us, He is for us, and His strength is made perfect in our weakness. The Bible speaks of this aspect of faith in numerous passages, offering reassurance and hope for those moments when our strength seems insufficient. God promises that it is. But there's some things we can do to cultivate this kind of faith. God's going to work with us. He's going to be there with us. But there's some things that we can do. We can and we should stay rooted in Scripture, right? To know the promises of God so we know what we're relying on. To hear how much He loves us as demonstrated page after page through person after person, not only in the biblical history, but in current history as well. We need to maintain a prayer life with Him. Stay connected to the one that we're relying on. We need to foster communities like this, whether it's our congregation or the global body of Christ, of believers, and community out there talking to others. Fostering that kind of community, not only going out, but drawing others in. And then the hard one, that's embracing trials as opportunities, to see them as God sees them, which is a way to get closer to Him. We view these challenges as opportunities to see God's power at work in our weaknesses, and it helps us to rely more fully on Him, because next time we have just a little more faith because we've seen and we've experienced what He's done. And this is a dynamic relationship. It's marked by trust, by dependence and perseverance. And it's the kind of faith that whispers, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him, as Job said. It also declares, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In every season of life, sustaining faith carries us, transforming our trials into testimonies of God's faithfulness and power. So I wind up, a faith that fits every situation is neither passive nor complacent, but is an active, living trust in God. It is a full display of our love and trust in Him. It's a faith that endures trials and it acts with compassion and it draws strength from God Himself. So therefore, let's strive to cultivate this faith, grounded in the blessed assurance of what we hope for and the conviction of what we do not see. For in every situation, this faith will be our guide. It'll be our strength and our victory. For in the end, it is the faith that will guide us home through every trial and triumph to the everlasting arms of our Creator, which is where He wants us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, life is good. Life is not always easy. You don't promise that there won't be troubles, but You do promise You'll be there with us. You've also promised when we dig deeper into Your word that You will use these for Your good purposes, which include the purposes You have for us. Faith is really easy to have when it's not tested. So let us not become so complacent. Let us, in those mountaintop moments, look around to others who need a hand down to pull them up in their faith. Whether it's a word of assurance, a shared scripture, a testimony, You know, Lord, you use our trials all the time as testimonies. Lord, in this very room 2 weeks ago, someone very dear gave me advice about the impending loss of my father. And it was because they had been through a similar loss themselves. We never wish these things on anybody else, but through these moments, we have compassion, a compassion that Jesus displayed, a love and a tenderness. We celebrate our mountaintop moments, our moments of peace. But we also face with joy, not happiness, certainly not reluctance, but with joy, the trials that we face, because they develop the perseverance and the character that bring us closer to rely fully on you, which is where you want us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, the faith you have in us as humanity, that we will accept that gift. Lord, we thank you for that. We celebrate that every moment of our lives as we know we have a relationship with you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.